Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
The Carrie and Tommy podcast begins in just seconds. Powered by Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.
Thank you for being
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, welcome to your Wednesday afternoon.
I'm
started
so
already.
I'm so angry.
What?
Because.
We'll talk about it next
time. No, now.
We can't do it now. You've just been trying to do it off air.
I know, because not
where we do our radio show, Carrie.
We've been having an argument about the colour of my eyes, and we were going to ask the audience to finally end this argument,
don't
and
now
you've
now.
Put a pick what, up and you changed the cut. You've changed
Carrie,
it.
Carrie,
our web guide
what else is coming up on the show
yeah, Carrie,
today?
I just asked you not to do it now.
I want to do it now.
Well, then what are we doing later?
We'll do it again. No, we are going to talk about my eye colour next and the stitch up that's happening around me. We have Crystal Hefner.
What a change. That's right, she's the best in the biz.
Crystal Hefner.
That was a real... That reminded me of one of the Project U-turns where we're like, that's all from Syria. Now, over at a kid's local footy game and a man has fallen on a slip and slide.
No, it's fascinating, a chat that we had with Crystal Hefner. The widow of Shush. Making me very cross.
Hugh Hefner's one of his wives.
Yeah, I was trying to say that.
Well, you weren't because you just went this.
Okay, I think we need to get through the next conversation about my eye colour next. And once
we've sorted that,
we can tell everybody what else is happening in a more calm fashion.
Okay.
Carrie and Tommy.
So, for years now.
Thank you.
We've been arguing about the colour of my... You're just thinking of producer.
Sorry, I just got the run sheet.
Thank you.
Dropped in front of me and I said thank you for getting that. We've got microphones in our mouths.
It's nice that you're polite, though. You know, I'm sure Georgia appreciated it.
Yeah, notice you didn't say thanks.
No, because I'm outraged. So we've been fighting about the colour of my eyes. My eyes are green.
Hang on, listen.
No, I know what it's like.
No, Carrie doesn't know what it's like.
No, she does know what it's like.
They're my eyes, and I'm aware what colour they are. And they do change a bit, but they're rarely blue. They're green, sometimes hazel.
They're rarely blue. So you are saying now they're sometimes blue.
On the off occasion, their resting colour is green.
Their resting colour.
But sometimes they do take on other colours temporarily, okay? Some eyes do that.
You've got blue eyes.
I don't.
And sometimes they go a bit red and bloodshot, but that's fine.
Thanks. No, I don't. I have green eyes. Anyway, we thought that we would get you guys to go onto our socials. We'd post a pic.
I've got the results.
No, hold on. Let me speak. And resolve it once and for all.
There's a poll.
So then, stop it.
Gary.
And then Web Guy Eli posted a picture earlier today.
Nearly 2,000 responses.
Can you let me speak?
99.
Turn his microphone off.
Turn it off, Jesse.
And you do not turn mine off. Turn his off. Do not turn mine off.
Carrie, 99% have said blue.
Okay, you know why?
0% have said green and 1% have said hazel. I've even left a helpful comment. Would you like to know what my comment says? She smokes green with her mate Hazel, but her eyes are definitely blue.
The issue is I sent Web Guy Eli a picture of me earlier today, and instead of posting that picture, he's changed my green eyes to be blue.
How would anyone ever do that? That sounds like witchcraft.
Eli, did you alter my eyes to be blue so that everyone would say they were blue and it would be funny content on air and make me angry?
No.
Absolutely not.
Kipper, Pippa, what colour in this picture, producer Pippa,
hang on.
What colour no, are my eyes?
Just look at your eyes.
What colour are my eyes? Blue.
Yeah.
Yes. Pippa!
Got her.
And Carrie, but just ask Pip. You don't need to show her a photo.
No,
you've got
okay.
your eyes.
Sorry, it's not quite
not
the question.
Eli's altering your eyes
that's
in real time.
That's not quite the question. Pippa, is the picture I just showed you the picture that Eli put online?
No, but your eyes are still blue.
Yeah,
okay,
your
but
eyes
what,
are blue.
What happened with the picture he put up online?
I don't know. I wasn't privy to that.
Eli doesn't
Georgia,
know
what
how
colour
to
are my
edit.
Eyes? Come over here and see this photo.
She's slowly pressuring the younger members of the team.
They are blue.
Your eyes are blue.
Eli has such a busy day. He's not sitting down editing photos
Georgia.
Of your eyes.
Why would he do that when you can just upload a picture of your blue
also,
eyes?
Also, what's wrong with people with blue eyes?
Nothing, yeah. but they're not
hey,
blue.
Jessie,
my eyes are not
so,
blue.
So sorry, Jesse, yeah. your eyes are blue.
Yeah, yeah I and thought when they were look, beautiful, but now I'm yeah, second guessing myself.
And when you look at Carrie, do you think that's a fellow blue-eyed
yes.
member of the community?
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
Carrie's would be bluer than Jessie's, though, I would say.
Yeah, but Carrie's, I just think.
That photo online is not my eyes.
Carrie,
it's misleading.
Okay, let's go to, so callers have seen your eyes before.
No,
let's go
now
to
they're
phones.
Just going off a picture on the internet that's been made for them to look blue. I'm going to post on my Instagram, forget Eli's Carrie and Tommy page.
Eli's
no, that's what you get. That's what you get.
But hang on, can we just go to Eli's been wanting a collab post for years. now
I'm going to post on my socials the picture I gave Eli and the picture he posted, and then I want you to
and
act on
everyone
to
go
no,
there
wait, wait.
And tell her
wait,
that
what?
They're blue.
Why can't we just do this? Why can't we just do this?
I'm so angry. Yes.
131060, are Carrie's eyes blue? Because these people, we're not even asking them to look at the Instagram. They've seen your eyes before. They know they're blue. And so all they need to do is reassure
I know exactly what's gonna
you
happen.
And
everyone's going to call them and go, yes, they are.
Well, but that's because they are.
No, because they want to annoy me because they think it's funny.
It doesn't
like
seem
you
to
do.
Annoy you at all.
You seem unfazed.
You may need to hit some of that just to calm down a bit.
Oh, that is green.
That is green. Yes. Carrie, on 131060, if the callers call through and they happen to agree, maybe that they're blue. Do you think we can put this debate to
no,
rest?
I'm aware of my own eye colour.
You're not 99% say blue.
Because the picture posted had
1%,
been altered.
1%
oh, is this
say
where we
hazel.
Found out that so Carrie's colourblind too?
Oh, Carrie, maybe you're colourblind.
Maybe you are.
What colour's the sky?
A pain. What colour's the sky? Yeah. It is blue.
Your eyes. Oh, ooh. Almost got her.
Help me, people, please.
131060.
They get it. They know what they're doing.
Carrie has blue eyes. If you agree, give us a call.
Carrie and Tommy.
Teddy Swims, that is Lose Control for your Wednesday Arvo. If you missed our chat with him yesterday, download the listener app and check out the podcast. But Losing Control is pretty much what Bickers is doing at the moment.
I have I'm not losing it. I have lost it.
Mm.
But you know,
I've actually lost it because you've tampered with a photo of mine.
Mm.
How's the
it's misleading.
You said you were gonna. So we've got the poll here from the photo of your eyes, asking if it's blue.
That's been altered 99%. To make my eyes look blue.
You said you were going to write this wrong and post. How's
well,
your one I'd... gone?
Okay, so I was going to post on my feed, but then I felt bad that I was taking away from Web with Guy Eli's job posting on the Carrie and Tommy socials, which is what we're meant to push.
So you were so angry that you haven't even posted this rebuttal picture or whatever it is?
It's not a rebuttal picture. It's the actual picture I sent him where I've got green eyes. He's made them blue and posted and done a poll. What colour are Carrie's
right,
eyes?
I've got the results here. 99% say
of
blue,
course,
1% say
they're blue
hazel.
In that picture. They're blue.
Yeah, and in real life.
No, they're not.
So
Sonia.
How did your poll go?
I didn't do a poll.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to.
I was going
you,
to.
You
but
yelled
like...
quite loudly that you were going to.
I know, I did.
Yeah, but yeah, you just haven't done it.
No, I didn't want to take away from Eli. I'm unhappy with him, but I don't want to like completely annihilate him, you know?
Interesting. G'day, Sonia.
Hi, how are you guys going?
Oh, well, I'm under fire for just having eyes that have seen
I've worked out
colour.
What we can do. Sorry, Sonia. Let's call my mum. She'll say what colour eyes I've got.
Why?
What?
Are why, you what? Like on our producer chat right now?
No. Are you trying to call my mum? Yeah, she'll say oh, I've got green
but sorry,
eyes.
Sorry, we can all see them.
You can't. You're colourblind.
But they're
you're
blue.
The worst judge of eye colour.
Sorry, everyone else here, Jesse, are you
yeah,
colourblind?
Blue.
No, they're
yeah.
just you're paying
yeah.
them.
Eli,
to
you're
say
not colourblind.
Eli is the guy that changed the picture.
Bluer than
blue. Thank you.
Sonia.
A sea is tricky because water's clear, but yes. G'day, Sonia. Sorry, you're back, Sonia.
I'm here.
Sonia, what colour are Carrie's eyes?
They are blue.
Is that from seeing the picture on social, Sonia?
That's a bit too dark, but your whole Instagram profile is a bright, bright blue.
Yeah, see? Have you altered every picture you've ever posted, Carrie?
No, I haven't, and I'm on my Instagram, and you're wrong, Sonia.
How's that new poll going, Carrie, that you just put up?
I didn't put up a poll.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to. Thank you, Sonia. Appreciate that.
No, I don't appreciate Sonia at all.
Lisa, hello, Lisa.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. What colour are Carrie's eyes?
Carrie's eyes are blue.
Thank you.
But Carrie, I actually have colour-changing eyes according to my mood. And if you look up your photos on Google, you will find that you actually have green eyes in some and blue eyes in others. So I'm sorry,
Thank you, Lisa.
I think you actually have mood-changing eyes. Yeah.
But
like a mood ring. That's fun.
Right at the moment, they're probably brighter than usual.
They are very blue. They are very blue. Might be the anger shade, Lise. What do yours change with, Lise? So what affects it?
So mine are usually quite a brown colour.
Yeah.
But if I'm really, really happy, they actually go like a green colour.
Mm.
And if I'm really sad, they go almost black.
Whoa.
They are like, they're really, really different in colour. Okay.
Sorry, I'm not ignoring Lisa. I just saw that they've tried to speak to my mum, and my mum's response was that she was in the middle of some online banking.
Okay. she wants to speak to you, Carrie. She's got some thoughts on this.
Okay, let's go to Luke quickly. G'day, Luke. Luke, what colour are Carrie's eyes?
Wazza!
Wazza! Luke will give us an honest answer. Luke, have you seen Carrie's eyes before?
Luke, listen to me, Luke.
I've seen her. I've seen her around. Yes, Carrie?
Yes, Carrie.
Yes, Carrie?
My eyes are green, aren't they, Luke?
They are 115% blue.
Blue. Bye, thank you, Luke. Great stuff, Luke.
I think we can get the honest, real answer from the woman that birthed me, shall we? My mum, Jenny. Welcome, mum.
G'day, Jenny.
Hi, darling. How are you going?
You're live on air, so don't swear.
We know what you like, Jenny.
I've already done that to Sam already.
He deserves it. Mum, what colour are my eyes?
Well, darling, the big thing about your eyes is that you've got your father's eyes, haven't you?
No, because his eyes are blue.
I look at you, I see your father's eyes. That's what I see.
And so you see blue eyes, Jenny?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, well done. Thank you, Jenny. Case closed.
Why is my mum part of the stitcher?
It's not a stitcher.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy driving you home thanks to the all-new, all-electric Toyota BZ4X with a striking new and sleek design. Charge on in the Toyota BZ4X.
Oh, and if you want to get yourself a new Toyota, Bickers, you could win the time game and get some cash towards
it. What's it up to this week?
This year. $3,000, and it's happening soon.
Also, if you've ever wondered what it would have been like being a Playboy bunny, what the world saw and what actually happened behind closed doors are very, very different. The stories are starting to emerge now that Hugh has passed away, Hugh Hefner. We'll be speaking to his widow, Crystal Hefner, later in the show as well. It's a fascinating chat. Make sure you stay for it.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Okay, so yesterday you brought me the story of a little eight-year-old that performed at some Indiana
an NBA game.
An NBA game.
Yes,
and she sang the national anthem. Yep. And look, the internet didn't like it.
No, and I...
Okay, I can't keep listening to
No, but the best bit's coming up.
Sorry.
Wait for it.
She's hit it. Hold on. What about the low bit?
Here we go.
That's my favourite bit. Anyway, okay, no more. But you then were talking about how mean the comments were underneath.
Yep.
She was savaged and you were just saying it's time to clean up the internet.
Yes.
Anyway, I did touch on this during that chat, the idea of whose fault it is that poor child is allowed to be on stage singing like that. And we went on and talked about other things. And off air, producer George and I started chatting. And I think this is a chat we should all be in on because it's a genuine question.
Mm-hmm.
Producer George said, that little girl should not have been allowed on stage. And I said, she said, you never let your girls do that. And I said, well, you'd be torn, wouldn't you? Because if you heard them sing like that, you don't want them humiliated. But aren't you meant to encourage them to go out in the world and be brave and do the thing they love? And George said, no, you can just turn to them and say.
Absolutely not. You're terrible at that. Don't do it in your room.
But certainly don't do it on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
You think that you can just, you know, my little girls, you think I could just turn to them and say, you're terrible at that. And that's a great opportunity, but you can't do that because you can't sing.
I reckon you can paraphrase.
I would say,
that's really great that you're trying. I wouldn't do it in front of people just yet.
You haven't earned an audience of 20,000
yet. You're actually trash.
Sorry, there's so many steps that you're missing that the parent has pushed them through.
Yeah.
Like you can say, that's great. And if you enjoy singing, you do singing. And yes, we'll go down to the local choir and you can join in the group. But there's been 100 steps where that parent has driven them to bigger and bigger sporting events because they're getting an 8-year-old there, regardless of how they sound. And their parent is going, great, because that kid is not living out their dreams. They're living out their parents' dreams.
But also there's nothing wrong with telling your child that they're bad at something too.
But why? Right? Because they're not always going to be good at something straight away. Sometimes you get better at something. So if you want to get the wind out of their sails to start with.
There's no way she's getting better. Sorry.
Why?
Sorry, hang on, Jay. She can only get better.
Yeah.
That's the only. You can get better from practice, can't you? Or is singing not something you can get better
at? But I just don't know why there is no middle ground. I don't think you have to tell them they're bad. But you don't also have to put them in front of a national TV audience.
Okay, change
there's
what
a
it
whole
is.
Middle ground.
I was going to say, if my child's playing soccer.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
okay.
They can play the sport, but if they're bad, I'm not going to tell them they're killing.
That's what I mean.
Let's take your kids not great at playing basketball,
yes.
Right? And you love them playing basketball and they're in a local comp and then they get up to the rep and they start doing rep and you're thinking they're not that good, but they keep getting moved and they enjoy it. And then someone comes along and says, hey, we've got this squad that's playing at some big national thing. We want your kid in there. Are you saying, sorry,
happening.
My kid's not good enough. He's not allowed
but
to.
But that's not what's happening here. There's no one going around choirs scouting this girl. The parents are pushing her.
But somebody's got to agree to put her on stage.
I know, but that's because the parent has gone, hey, put my kid on.
Can you just
no
do
one's
that?
Seeing her.
I've tried. You can't just do that. You don't just ask and your kid gets on stage.
Part of the.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a joke, I think, wasn't it? But again, no one else is coming up with this idea except the parents. And so the basketball example is great. I would let my kid play basketball, but I'm not then approaching the Indiana Pacers with my dud kid and going, put my kid in.
Sub him
start
in.
Him, start, him on,
him
start,
in.
Him, start him on the court.
Yeah.
Start him on the court and make sure the camera's on him.
Yeah.
The camera's on him and use their full name. So this will stick around on the internet for a long time because my kid is due for a win because he hasn't had one yet.
Okay, hold on. Mm. I actually do want to ask the people their thoughts on this on 13, 10, 60.
Sure.
Can you tell your kid you suck? Can you tell them they're not good at something? And even if they're offered an opportunity to show their skill on a stage or at an event, can you say, no, you should not participate because you're no good?
Great.
Or is that bad parenting? Give us a call, 13, 10, 60.
Gary and Tommy for your Wednesday arvo coming up after 4 o'clock. $3,000 in the time game.
But right now we're asking, can you tell your kids they suck?
Mm-hmm.
Because
you've been thinking about it.
No, my kids are amazing. But we were having a big debate about a kid that before. No, they are. They're amazing. Lots of things. I love you.
I know, but babies. You've also just said you don't think you can tell your kids.
No, I just don't know. What's the line between encouraging them and hoping they get better and giving them a chance to grow and, believe in themselves and stopping them being humiliated?
No, but you can encourage them and tell them that they're not good now, but they might be later if they keep trying.
And so if they get a big opportunity like performing the anthem on a main stage at a game in the US like this little girl did, you think her parents should have stopped her before that and said, you should not be on that stage?
This girl.
That's a good note. That she's hit that bit, but this is the bit for me.
It takes a while to get there, actually.
Wait.
It's pretty cute.
Oh, don't you now say it's pretty cute.
I've always said it was good.
Isabella. How are you, Isabella?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Do you have kids?
Yes, I've got two boys, 9 and 11.
And can you tell them that they suck at something?
Yes, and I think you should as a parent. You, constructive criticism. I'm not telling them that, tell them they're hopeless. Just say, how about you try this sport instead?
Have you had to tell your kids that much, Isabella?
Yes, I have. My son, he thought it was great playing soccer with his, he had to have his own soccer ball while he played soccer with his friends. And I'm just like, and everybody else had to have a different soccer ball than him. And I'm like, well, maybe this sport isn't the ideal sport for you.
Isabella, so take the kid that we just heard then. Are you saying someone says to her, we'd love your daughter to perform the national anthem on a main stage. You're meant to say, no, she's not good enough, and tell her she's not good enough to do that.
Look, I would say, how about she's like maybe on the side or if there's something else that she can do, but not that 100%, because she's actually done more harm to her than good, right? Because now she'll feel humiliated by it when she hears herself.
Well, the harm wasn't just to her. I mean, we had
someone to everybody else.
Yeah, someone from the office just ran in with their hands over their ears. So. We've got a Tina. G'day, Tina.
Hi, guys.
Tina, can you tell your kids they suck?
I don't think you have to tell them they suck. I think you can show them examples of her, like that girl, and go, this isn't what you want to be. I think as a parent, though, you're the filter.
God, this
you're
poor the, girl's now the example.
Yeah. She's the face.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but you're the guide. You're the one that, you would be the one that's approached. My son is a singer, and I would never have let him sing something on a national stage when he was 8, even if he'd been asked to do it, because he wouldn't be ready and it would scar him for life. I'm sure she's going to be scarred for
but
life.
Do you think, Tina, there's a chance, though, that you see your kids differently? So do you think she thinks her kid sounds amazing? Did you think your son sounds amazing and maybe he doesn't?
I think she does. I think so. I guess she does. I don't know. What is she hearing?
My ears
are still bleeding. Like, really? Like,
do you think your son is ready now, Tina, for a big stage?
Oh, yeah, he's 28, 26, I mean. Oops, I'll be in trouble. He's 26. So,
and
yeah,
has he got a good voice?
Yeah, he has a good voice.
And
yeah,
do you know that, or you just think that because you're his mum?
No. He went to musical theatre and did university musical theatre, so I know he can sing now. So I'm happy for him to do whatever he wants. But, I mean,
just a question on the musical theatre.
Sure.
Did he pay full fee or was it a scholarship?
No, he paid full fees.
Yeah, because they are about making revenue. It's tough. You know what I mean? It is tough. Tina, thank you. Excellent.
What about Daniel? Daniel, do you reckon you can tell your kids they suck at something?
Absolutely not. I've got a little 3-year-old girl, and, mate, if something makes her happy and she wants to do that, do not tell her she sucks. I completely disagree with Tina and the other one.
But, Daniel,
but that little girl we heard, you know that, well, you heard her too, didn't you, the one singing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. I heard her. How did you feel about her performance?
Beautiful singing, mate. I would have encouraged her all the way home. Would have said, what a great day. And, you know, you can't put your kids down like that. Like, if they do something they love, doesn't matter if it's sports, singing, whatever, as long as at the end of the day they have a smile on their face and they're happy.
But won't they not have a smile once the internet, like it did, turns on them, and once they get to school and they're embarrassed? Weren't you meant to protect them from that?
It's 2024. People get over videos in a week. Yes. There's that much stuff getting posted at the moment.
It's a long week, though.
It is a tough week. Good on you, Daniel. Good thoughts.
Should we finish with Jake? Yeah. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. Look, I agree with Daniel because, yes, the kids should do what they love, but I would rather be the one to tell my kids they suck than someone they don't know.
Yes.
And I have 3 boys and a girl, but if they suck, I'm not going to lie to them and have them embarrass themselves in front of millions of people or whatever. I'd rather be the one to say, look, guys, you need more practice. What you are doing is no good. Let's just keep trying, get more practice.
Jake, it's very sweet what you say, but it is funny hearing the thing, like, nobody tells my kids they suck except for me. I'm going to do that.
Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, that is where you're at for your Wednesday Arvo. And coming up a little bit later on, an extremely intriguing chat.
Yes.
Yes. With Hugh Hefner's widow, Crystal Hefner. She tells all. It is definitely a chat worth sticking around for.
But right now,
it's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God.
The Time Game Jackpots Weekly.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
When exactly 5 seconds is up. This week, the jackpot is up to
$3,000. It's getting back up there.
Carrie and Tommy's Time Game.
It's nothing to be sneezed at, Pickers. $3,000 large.
Let's do it next.
13 10 60.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Time, time, bobine, banana, banana, bobine, beep, bime, all mine. Time game. Carrie and Tommy's time game.
It's feeling a bit go-offy.
Is it?
It might.
Is that because it's a round number?
Yeah, last
$3,000. Jody, you want $3,000?
Hey, I could do with $3,000, guys.
What are you doing with it, Jodes?
So what will I do? I would probably get my car painted because it's like, because I'm in WA, it's a bit like worn, you know, paint worn.
Okay.
So I'd get my car painted.
Okay. You haven't got one of those.
Specific. Yes.
I like it, Katie. You haven't got, you're not rocking like a different colored door or panel or something.
No. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's a little bit sun damaged.
Okay. Well, yeah, you should be so lucky, Jodes. It's only going to take 5 seconds of your time. Jesse's going to say start. If you say stop and it's bang on, 5 seconds of cash is yours. Are you ready?
Ready, guys.
Start.
Stop.
Felt a bit long.
Did it?
The
problem is our furry friend here is giving away nothing. Have you had a bad day?
No. Just... we've been working on my poker face.
Is it? Is that true? Do you know what he told me?
What?
You know Rochelle?
Oh, no. What's happened?
The little rat he's been kissing.
Yeah.
He said he's given her the flick.
You promised me we weren't going to talk about this.
Are you sad or are you okay about it?
Of course I'm sad.
Were you the one that flicked
you gave wages? Why'd you give her the flick?
Yeah.
And you told me it wasn't working and we had some stuff that we needed to work through and...
You told me you had 4 other rats on the side.
Whoa.
You said there was Brittany.
You said we wouldn't do this on air. Now.
You said there was Shitney, there was Marcus and there was Tegan.
That wasn't her real name.
You're saying Marcus wasn't her real name?
No, Tegan.
Oh. Shitney's
real name. How did Jody go?
Is that another one? Oh, Jody, sorry.
She's still there.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, I didn't know whether I should be like saying something or breathing or what.
I don't know. But this, I'll tell you what, this furry feline is about to let you know whether you won $3,000. Furry marsupial.
Thank you.
Are you?
5.
Okay.
Point.
Yes.
3-8.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Jodes.
G'day, Trace.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah, not too bad. Have you ever heard a story about a ferret who's had not one but 4 love affairs and then given the woman a flick and pretended he's sad about it?
Hell no.
Yeah, me neither.
Were you not paying attention before, Trace?
Maybe that's your next kid's book. Actually, that would be weird if that was a kid's book. Sorry, I was just thinking of a little animal that was cute.
Oh,
Look at him, he's cute. Ferrets no wonder the ladies love him.
Ferrets aren't marsupials, they're mustelids.
Mustard lids.
And he must have lived a few places if he's got that many rats on the go. He must have lived about 5 places. Tracy, are you ready to play? You're throwing us off our game, Tracy.
I am ready and waiting.
Do you know what other muster lids are? Otters, mink, badgers, weasels and skunks.
Oh, I bet
they're
you've been with all of them, you dirty dog ferret.
Your no weasels. Dogs.
No dogs?
No dogs.
You've never kissed a canine?
No. Oh? But a cat, yes.
You don't want to crossbreed. It's weird.
He's been with 5 rats.
They're all the same.
Tracy, sorry. Are you ready still?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
Oh, it's too quick.
No,
I thought it was a bit long.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard to tell.
Let's see what the tendrils of our mustelid have summoned
up. Tendrils?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know. I wasn't sure if you had fingers. Oh, you got claws. I can see them. Gross. Just clean them.
Like, you're supposed to clean them.
Clean them.
It's meant I to don't be have thumbs.
Teach you. I did teach you. I said to you that girls be... like don't yes, like.
I don't have any thumbs. I can't grip you told, the brush.
You told come me... bring them to Mama and I'll clean them. You can't rock around
Mama's
like that.
Mama's been sleeping on the job.
Yeah, you told me. Oh, she's not the only one that's been sleeping. At least it's on the job and not around.
Oh.
You little rat rooter.
Rude. How did Tracy go? 5.
Oh, that's good.
Boy.
Yes.
2-7.
Oh. Yeah, I chose to have it. Yeah. You chose to.
No, that's the sound of the
anything little... but this.
Oh. Harry.
Farron. Are you there, Farron?
Yep.
Are you a
Farron would be a good ferret's name, actually. Farron the ferret.
Oh, yeah. He's a great name. Are you a mustelid, Farron?
I don't even know what that word means. I work in construction, so.
Yeah. There could be some mustelids kicking around some construction sites.
I reckon there'd be a few.
Yeah, there might be, actually. Are you ready to play, Farron?
Yep.
Start.
Felt a little on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Do you ever find when you're building things, Farron, they go a bit over time?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. It happens to the best of us. Let's see how Farron went.
My five. Point.
Yeah.
9-2.
Oh, they're also like flat.
I think they're just flat from the conversation. I think we've got the art.
I'm energized by the conversation, to be honest.
Sarah, how are you feeling about the art of the conversation?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, what's up? Oh, what's up, Sarah?
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
Oh, I didn't know that the ferret got involved in the what's up.
Sarah, have you heard what our furry friend, what he has to say when he comes home? He has to go, what's up, what's up, what's up, to all the rats that he's...
They're not all rats.
Oh.
Some of them are other mustelids.
Have you Marcus got an otter on the go?
No, Marcus is a badger. That's I saw one hanging around the front stoop.
No, Marcus is a rat.
Nah, he's not.
But you know what he said? He's the other day, I said, is that your otter? And he said, no, it's my otter. Because I have. Work. He's got two.
I know. I get it.
But which one's otter?
Sarah, I'm going to pass you over now to Jesse. You say stop at exactly 5 seconds. Are you ready?
Ready.
Start.
Stop.
Long again. What's happened? I mean, that conversation has felt long. Sarah, I hope you win, and because otherwise you'll be going, was down. How did Sarah go?
Five.
Yes.
Point.
Okay.
9-0.
Oh. Well, jackpot's next week. In the meantime, should we just get a good movie, chick flick, and some ice cream and just sit on the couch tonight?
Sorry.
Mum's gone weird.
Why did you make this weird?
No, I didn't. I'm just saying I'm going to comfort
him. It's weird now.
He's sad.
It's weird now. Carrie and
Tommy. Because a bit of a disappointing day in the comedy world. I woke up to a text message this morning, which was from my agent, and it just had a link to a news article saying Montreal's Just for Laughs Comedy Festival cancels this year's edition and seeks to avoid bankruptcy. As you know, I already had flights booked to go to Montreal this year. I was going back to Montreal this year.
It's quite the honour to be asked to perform.
It is. As a young comedian, it was my dream to go to Montreal. It is the only invitation-only festival in the world, and it is seen largely as being the most prestigious comedy festival in the world. They also have a branch that comes out to Australia called Just for Laughs in Sydney. They're huge international events. I've been lucky enough to go there 5 times, which I only ever dreamed of even going once as a young comic. And I still remember the day I got the call asking me to go over there, and it was like a dream come true. You go over, you perform to 5,000 people in a theater, and it gets shown on American TV. It's like the stuff that you literally start out and you think one day, wouldn't it be incredible to do that? And I do hope that it comes back.
So what does, when it says to avoid bankruptcy, why would that be the case? Where's the costs and what's the problem, do you think?
So they haven't fully gone into detail, and they said there'll be more information with their plans in the future. What we do know at the moment is they've laid off 70% of their staff. Mm. I assume if this festival is cancelled, the one that was scheduled to happen later in the year in Sydney will also be cancelled, which means, you know, we're talking like thousands of jobs for people. We're talking about hundreds of comedians from all over the world who suddenly have things that they'd planned for their year that aren't going to happen. But also with Just for Laughs, it's known as the place where Jerry Seinfeld got discovered. I've been to Just for Laughs, I met Jim Carrey there. I met Kevin Hart there. It's literally a breeding ground for new comics. And so now there is this whole outlet. It's the only festival in the world where agents come from all over the world and comedians come from all over the world to discover who is going to be the next star. And now, sadly, for now at least, and I think probably most likely into the future, that outlet for us is gone.
So was that So correct me if I'm wrong, but that would have been broadcast somewhere for you to watch. Is the issue now that you can see comedians broadcast their own shows on streamers everywhere, you don't need to see it all in one show like that or something?
Yeah, I think a lot of their revenue came from a model that has been around. It's been 40 years we celebrated with Just For Laughs last year. And so this was going to be its 41st year. And the model is you go over and you do these big showcases and they are already sold to North American TV networks who then buy the showcases and they put them on TV. And the nature of broadcast television is there is not as much money in it as there used to be. Mm. And there are so many more streams of how you can receive your media that I guess it's just not viable maybe anymore. And again, this is why I hesitate to say that, because that is one theory, but they haven't elaborated that that is particularly what it is. But again, the follow-on effect is all those people work on those TV productions and all those comedians get seen then on TV, and it's basically our Olympics is the best way to put it for the sporting world. This is our Olympics of the comedy world. And sadly, I found out this morning that it's not going to happen.
Is there anything that people can do?
They can come and see me at my Australian shows. And I would love to still see you there. I'm touring pretty much the rest of the country. I've only knocked off a few cities, but I would let's keep comedy alive in this country.
Because
I lost one job this morning. I'd love you to come and see me live.
Carrie and Tommy.
UNSDAY Arvo, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, all thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how they're getting to net zero. Find out more at alintaenergy.com.au/truepower.
We were about to bring you an interview we did earlier today. We got the chance to chat to one of Hugh Hefner's widows,
yes,
Crystal Hefner. It is a fascinating chat. I think the roller coaster ride that has been the Playboy Mansion over the decades, it's now come crashing down. The stories that are coming out of that mansion are pretty horrific. But at the height of the time, there were celebs that partied there.
Yep.
He was the man of the decade for a period of time. And we asked Crystal about all of that. A lot of it can't be in the chat that you're about to hear for content reasons, obviously, with little ears in cars and things like that. And it's definitely worth going to the podcast and having a listen to the full interview with her. But we'll bring you what we can. Shall we do that next?
Yes.
Great.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because earlier today we had the pleasure of chatting to Crystal Hefner, who was married to, of course, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner. They married in 2012. He's 60 years her senior at the time, and, of course, up until his death in 2017. She was one of three wives, and she's released a memoir called Only Say Good Things. It is considered a raw and honest memoir of her time in the Playboy Mansion and as Hugh's wife. And she joined us earlier.
Crystal, it is such a delight to have you on. We have so much we want to talk to you about. Congratulations on your new book. I've heard so many amazing things from people that have read it. And it sounds like it would have been quite a cathartic but quite a painful thing to write. How do you feel now that it's out in the world?
I actually wasn't quite sure how it would be received, but it's being received very well and I'm so excited about it. And yeah, and thank you. And thank you for having me.
Can we go back to the beginning for people that don't know? How did you end up at the Playboy Mansion as a Playboy bunny?
Oh gosh. Well, I would see magazines, Playboy magazines when I was younger. And I thought, oh wow, these are the most beautiful and powerful women in the world. And how do you become one of those women? And I got to the point when I was 21 where I was asked if I wanted to submit a photo to possibly go to a party. So I submitted a photo with a friend and we ended up going to a Halloween party in 2008. And that's where I met Hef.
And was the party everything you thought it was going to be?
It was beautiful. You know, I had a very humble upbringing. So, you know, seeing this really ornate, beautiful home, it was cool and it was magical and it felt like a whole different world, like Willy Wonka or something, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
How do you end up going from just rocking up to the Playboy Mansion to marrying him? And is that a romantic process? Is the proposal romantic? How do you get to that point, or is it all transactional?
It felt a bit transactional, you know, it really did. And I know Hef, he was getting older and maybe he wanted a good, you know, PR story for the end of his life. And, you know, he gave me a ring. And so I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
What keeps you staying at the mansion? So before you get married, you've been there for a while. What makes you stay? Does it become a fear of leaving? Does it become a, well, what else am I going to do? Like, just help us understand, I guess, what when you can see the reality of what's happening around you, what makes you think this is the life I want?
Yeah, after a while being in such a bubble, you don't really know what's outside of it. And then the media and the whole world is, this is at a time when Hugh Hefner was praised all around the world and put on such a pedestal, where it's like, if you have these feelings of doubt or something's weird or off, you're like, okay, maybe it's just something wrong with me, because the whole world idolizes this man.
What do you think the main misconception about life with him is like? Because from the outside, even in his, you know, very elderly years, it was still seen as a glamorous existence. What's the main thing that's kind of shockingly different to how the rest of the world sees it?
Yeah, I think Playboy, the brand itself, is supposed to be like a, you know, a brand of freedom and expression. And for me personally, as Hef's, you know, girlfriend and wife, it was the opposite of that. I was completely trapped. He controlled everything about me, you know, what I look like. He financially controlled me. And it was hard.
Well, I know before he died, he asked you to only speak good things about him. And you've obviously decided now to speak the truth. What is it he was so scared of the world finding out?
I'm not sure. And that's a great question that I haven't been asked. And I don't know what he was afraid of, because he did say that his life was an open book. But he did promise me that, he made me promise that I would only say good things about him. And I wanted to tell the truth. And I do realize I was a bit brainwashed by him, the way he told the narrative for so many years, like 70 years, the way he wanted it to be. And I'm like, oh, it's time for other people's stories. And I think those are equally as important. So it's been a process, but it's shifting.
So you don't, like, you must have some idea of some of the moments or some of the things that he would have been afraid of the world knowing. Do you think it was more the way he treated the women, or was it more things about him personally that he would have been embarrassed about? Like, what sorts of things really got to him?
I think he would only be embarrassed if, I don't know, like he, if, I remember one example is he was doing a series on Amazon, and it was about his life, and he was going over the script, and his wife before me cheated on him with a security guard for like 2 years, and they put it in there and he took it out. Because Hugh Hefner doesn't get betrayed in that way and doesn't want to be embarrassed. So it's examples like those. Like, he just wants to remain like the man.
Crystal, I can imagine, and obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but if you've built yourself up to be the man over all these years, it must be hard when your health and stuff starts to decline. And I imagine, you were dealing with essentially a man that was losing his identity.
Yeah. And, you know, in a way I felt sorry for him, and I was trying really hard to help him keep that image up, you know, and protect him until the very end. And I don't know why, like maybe some type of Stockholm syndrome. Like, by that time I had like saved millions of dollars and made lots of money. And for some reason I just felt like I can't leave him.
Did you love him?
I think, I don't think so, because early on when he wanted to have like multiple women like in the bedroom, I'm like, this person can't love me. So I'm just going to try and just see the situation for what it is.
I was going to say, in those situations, like when you're having a perfectly natural and human thought, which is, how can this person love me if they want multiple people here? Did you have a choice?
Yeah. I mean, I went along with it, and, you know, I became his mirror, like reflecting his self-importance back at him. That's what he wanted. And I know now that he was a narcissist, absolutely, like the definition of one. So it's now I know, like now I can think, like look back and like understand his behavior more. And I think that's important. And that's, you know, part of the reason I wrote the book.
At the height of the mansion, many celebs went and partied there. We spoke to Crystal about those celebs, including a very famous hookup between Leonardo DiCaprio and a very, very well-known pop star, We'll tell you all about that on the other side of this.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country, if you drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And if you are just joining us, we are in the middle of our chat earlier with Crystal Hefner, the wife of the late Hugh Hefner, the Playboy founder. Now, she wasn't his only wife. There were she was one of three, but of course, she wasn't the only person in the mansion. As we discussed earlier, it was the home to many a party and many a star.
There were so many famous faces that came through that mansion over the years, some who now I'm sure are ashamed to be a part of it, some who know many things that went on are hoping that the world doesn't find out about them. What were some of, who were some of those faces and those moments that you saw?
I think the celebrities that were, you know, famous at the time, you know, I remember Jack Nicholson would come there a lot, like random celebrities like Pauly Shore, Corey Feldman. I remember Leonardo DiCaprio and Rihanna like hooking up one night. And I was thinking like, oh, that's smart. Like hook up with each other and then they won't tell anyone. Like that's smart. And then, lots of people. There were some people that came very regularly that I'm like, not the best people. But there were every once in a while celebrities that just wanted to check it out. I remember meeting Justin Bieber and like Kylie Jenner came by and they just wanted to check it out, which I understand their curiosity.
Mm. I'm curious, and I'll be honest, I haven't seen the movie surrounding this, but can you paint the picture for me? Is it just a party, but then in private rooms there's stuff happening, or is literally happening on every surface in every room all around you?
Not every surface, but like a lot of, like there's this, you know, the backyard's beautiful. People can go in the house. There's different rooms. There's the library. There's the game house that has two different bedrooms attached to that. There's a bathhouse and the gym. There's all kinds of different like nooks and crannies for people to spend time. And then there's the grotto, of course. And so people would just be everywhere.
But publicly doing it, like it didn't matter if you saw people having sex.
I would just go down with Hef and back up with Hef. So I didn't see like, you know, when people got more drunk or whatever was going on. But yeah, I had to stick with him like mostly. So,
That might answer my question. Cause I was going to say, Crystal, if you're at a party and you're really hitting it off with Leo, do you get to go and hook up with Leo, or is that strictly not allowed?
No, Hef is very possessive. And all of those people know, like, do not speak to the girls that are, like, with Hef.
What a shame.
I know. I'm like, it's Leo.
I know.
Although Leo now, I don't know. Can I ask?
Yeah, no. He's turning into the new Hef, right? He's just, like, getting older. The girls are getting younger. I'm like, oh, gosh, it's a bad look.
It is a bad look. What is the scrapbook room?
He has 3,000 volumes of scrapbook. He's like meticulously kept track of his life, his whole life. So he has these books and he felt that he was going to be admired and studied for generations and generations. So he kept these 3,000 scrapbooks that we still have. And we're trying to figure out, what do we do?
Ooh. Burn them?
Right? Yeah. I know. There's a lot of like women that probably don't want their images anywhere. So they're being very protected right now.
What would you do with him when it wasn't party time? What did day-to-day with him look like? Are you sitting around playing card games? Is he playing golf? Are you doing your own thing? What was life like for you?
He played card games with his brother and like other friends. And I mean, I tried to just have as much alone time for myself as possible, but you know, he had a schedule like Tuesday cards with the girls, Wednesday with the guys, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, movie nights. It was like a cruise ship itinerary every single day. Like he had to have something.
What do you hope, or is there anything that can come out now of this situation fix that for the women that were involved? Is there anything that you're hoping will happen?
Well, I think that the Playboy Mansion and that whole thing itself was just a crazy like social experiment in time that can never be repeated again. Lots of the women, are damaged from it. And I don't think have realized. And I just think bringing awareness, and I'm still part of Hef's foundation. We're having an auction coming up with Julian's Auctions. And I just hope, you know, some of that money can go toward, you know, helping women. So we'll see.
I love that you're studying psychology now too. Is that so you can work out? You've got so much experience managing narcissists and minds like that. Is that one of the reasons you started to study psychology?
Yeah. And I would love to continue and help women and, you know, young girls that, you know, it's toxic, the toxic beauty standards and social media. It's very hard.
Mm. You say that you had to play mind games to survive with you. What were some of those mind games?
Yeah, I guess with Hef, like, you just had to like everything that he liked. Make yourself small. You know, he loved a damsel. He loved a woman that's helpless and can't do anything for herself. Like, it's just this character expects you to play, and it's a mind game for sure.
Crystal Hefner's memoir, Only Say Good Things, is out now. Grab yourself a copy. And also, because there was heaps that we couldn't air of that chat for content reasons. If you do want to hear all of the stuff that was left out, it was an absolute a mix of fascinating, incredibly sad, and just an
it's
insight.
Really eye-opening, wasn't it?
Into the pretty much the opposite of how the Playboy Mansion appeared from the outside. And you can catch all those bits we couldn't put to air, including those bits that you just heard, on our podcast.
Gary and Tommy.
Bit of Fred again coming up in Back to Back to Back today. How good was he last night?
What a show, Bickers. What a show. Any show where you've got screens on the roof is amazing. The roof of a stadium.
It looked like it was raining at one point.
Yes.
It was amazing. Now, if you don't know who Fred Again is, I didn't know who Fred Again was until about 2 months ago, and now I'm on the train and I loved it and I felt hardcore.
That's what all the Fred Again stands say. Are you guys on the train? We're on the Fred Again train. It was such an amazing show.
It was. It was just pure, it was
joy.
I was going to say pure ecstasy. Not for me, but I think maybe for lots of other people.
Save that one.
Is this going how you planned? Is that what happens on
she's
the train?
On a, she's on the come down.
Yeah, I know.
No, not for me.
I just
wanted to say it was pure ecstasy, but then as I said that word and I remembered the crowd, stop talking, Carrie. But there was an issue you wanted to talk about.
No, there was just a moment. Yeah. It didn't happen it happened in the arena, but not like inside. It was when I went out to get a drink. And I don't know if I'm being a jerk or the person working was being a jerk. Ooh. But I'll tell you about it afterwards.
After Back to Back.
Yeah.
Back to Back to Back.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is Fred Again, Adore You. It's Carrie and Tommy for your Wednesday, Arvo.
Such an amazing show. I know they're pretty much the hottest tickets in the country, but if you can get your hands on some, go see Fred Again. Show was incredible because
I wish I could see Fred again and again.
I wish I could see Fred again. That's exactly what you said, yes. Hey, we had a moment. I had a moment.
I had nothing to do with it, and I have thoughts on it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think I was being a jerk?
When you retold the story to us, yes, I do think you were being a jerk.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I didn't
you tell
start
the
it.
People the story.
So
and then
I will preface it with saying I don't mind a niggle.
Of course. If someone, especially when you've had a drink.
If someone scratches, I don't mind scratching back. And I just went and I went to get us drinks. And we were in a rush because I didn't want to miss any. I just ran out. I didn't want to miss anything. And so I ran to the front of the bar. And now, you know, at bars at stadiums, they often put drink limits in. At any sporting, big attended thing,
any concert.
Do you
know what's so funny? I didn't know that.
Oh.
Because what? I only get one drink at a time. But someone like you wants like 20 drinks at a time.
No, I just go with friends.
No, we all just line up and get them each.
Do you? Why do you all miss out on songs? You send one person for each round.
Oh, no, I normally don't go out during it.
Yes, because I went out to get you drinks. I was getting me and you drinks.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did. Sorry, you did.
Jesus, argument's born in a head. But anyway, often that limit also changes as the night goes on.
Mm. Oh, does it?
Yeah, so often when you get there, it's four drinks, and then often as the night gets later, it's down to two drinks. Sometimes they even get down to one drink per person.
And sometimes they're like, oh, you can have a beer, but you can't have a beer and spirits.
Yes, yes, exactly. Oh. So all I did was I was very polite. And I got to the front of the queue and I said with a smile, I said, hey, I'm just checking, what's the limit? Is it two or is it four? And the woman standing behind the counter goes, of what? And I said, what do you mean?
At a bar?
Yeah. And she goes, of what? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, well, we have a lot of things here. We've got chips and chocolate bars.
Is there normally limits on how many chocolate bars you can buy?
It's funny you say that because I said back to her, I said, do you have a limit on chocolate bars? And she said, no. And I said, do you have a limit on chips?
Oh, already.
And she said, no.
Yeah.
And I said, do you have a limit on drinks? And she said, yeah, we do. It's two spirits and two beers.
Did you go,
drinks.
I guess that's what I'm talking about then.
Yeah, I did. I said, well, maybe I'm talking about the drinks. And the woman went.
You're right, but your tone would have annoyed me.
No, but I was friendly at the start. Why did she go, on what? I'm trying to just shortcut a process.
She doesn't want to be there. She wants you to get your drink and take her off. But so she also, can go home.
But she did start the negativity.
Absolutely. But how's this? So then.
Did she say there was a limit?
Yes, there was.
Right. On what, though?
Yeah. And then she goes, well, you know, I could just, I don't have to serve you. I could just cut you off. And I said, cut me off from what? And she goes, what? And I meant from chocolate bars. I said, do you cut people off from chocolate bars?
Oh, my God, now you're just annoying.
And she goes, no, from drinks. And I'm like, see, it's not that hard, is it? Who's in the wrong? Because I get it all.
But already I'm glad I wasn't there near you.
There was a queue. I was trying to make the transaction as speedy as possible. And so I said, hey, is there a limit? What's the limit on what?
I think here's the problem I've got.
At a bar.
Here's the problem I've got. In most of those situations when you're being like that, it's so annoying that I'm on the other person's side. In this situation, I think she did start the antsiness. But just so you're aware, you can be a bit pesty.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Yeah. But I didn't do anything.
No, but in this case, I don't think you did anything wrong.
No, I was actually trying to help, like stopping her having to go, hey, and explain it to me.
And I reckon you saved all the people behind you in the line from getting
completely.
On what?
On what?
Yeah.
On what?
You're a hero.
Thank you.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up. Thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.